When we read this story together, we read of many people who all found themselves at a crossroads. A place where a choice needed to be made. We see a father who is thinking about caring for his family. And he has to choose between staying with the people of God or going outside. We see sons after their father is gone. And they need to make a choice. Which direction will they go? Will they go back? Will they stay in the land that was filled with idolatry? We see a mother who now needs to make a decision in which way her life will go. She's come to a crossroads, a place where there are two directions that one can go, and they both have a destination. And we see a young woman who has to make up her mind where she is going to be faithful. Will it be to her family and to the things that she knows and she had always hoped her life would be built around? Or would she leave all of those things and become part of the nation that was called by God and put her trust in the Lord that she heard of from Naomi? There's someone else in this story that is at a crossroads, and that is the reader. The reader of this story is at a crossroads too. You and I. And we sing a song that paints that picture. Two ways, O man, before thee lie, that lead to just two places. One narrow, to the throne on high, that many a cross embraces. The other road is smooth and broad, but does not give the peace with God, and leads to utter ruin. Where do you find the crossroads? There's not much given about Elimelech and his backstory, or where he came from, or what kind of person he was. But he found himself there. In the times when the judges ruled, it says, and there was a famine in the land. It was a moment of pressure and of need, a moment of want. It was a moment of testing where we see what is in his heart and where is his faith. That's what the crossroads will bring out. It will bring out a time when we're forced to choose. What is the most important? And there can be no tie for that place. We must choose one. The time of the judges was a hard time. It was a time of chaos and difficulty for the children of God. And it sort of stems from the choices that Israel had made. If you go back to the Judges, beginning of the book of Judges in chapter 2, You can read for yourself what had taken place. See, the children of Israel were in Egypt. They were delivered by God. They were led by Moses through the wilderness. They came to the border of the promised land, and Joshua led them in. And they were to take over that land and inherit that land, a land that was supposed to be flowing with milk and honey. But they stopped short of God's command to drive all of the people out. And God visited them and told them in Judges chapter 2, and the angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I made you to go up out of Egypt and have brought you unto the land which I swear unto your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you. And ye shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. Ye shall throw down their altars, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Why have ye done this? Wherefore, I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as thorns in your sides, and their gods shall be a snare unto you. God warned the people not to make a connection or a league or an alliance with the nations that were around about them. But Elimelech said, look at my circumstance. Look at the hardship of the famine that we're under. And he made a choice to pursue the comfort for his physical life and provision for his family, to fill their bellies, rather than to repent, humble himself before God, and return to him, and remember his promise that God would provide for them if they would turn to him. And in a way, he showed a little bit about his heart. And this is the pattern that came over and over for the people in the time of Judges. They would stray. And then they would suffer consequences. And then they would cry out to God. And when they returned to him, they found his hands full of mercy and blessings and willingness to help them. That is the story of the crossroads. Because some may choose to go down a path towards sin and towards the very short-lived pleasures of this life, and towards their physical needs and seeing how they can take care of it themselves. Well, there's one destination that path will lead to: utter ruin. The other path is a path of faith, a path that believes the promises of God and humbles oneself, turns away from evil, turns the heart to God. And there, that's a path to redemption. And that's what the story of Ruth is about. Bad choices were made. And maybe the backstory of Elimelech isn't given, how he came to these crossroads and what happened after. But you know about your story, and you know why you are in the crossroads that you're at. You know the choices that brought you there. You know that you've been there before, and that you chose the wrong way. But another opportunity is given. Door is open. The crossroads are before you again. There is a judgment that we will all face before the throne of God. But there is also redemption now offered. Redemption from this hopeless and desperate situation of coming to these crossroads, choosing the wrong way, and reaping the consequences over and over again. And it's found in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Ruth is on a path now as she is making the choice to seek the Lord, where she's going to find Christ in her, the hope of glory, in a spiritual way and also in a physical way, because she would become the great-grandmother of David, I believe, and part of that line of Christ. Are you on a path that is showing Christ in you, the hope of glory? Young men have a choice where to find a helpmeet in this story. And they don't choose to go back to find a helpmeet that will pull in the same direction. And they make a choice to find a helpmeet they don't really know. But they should know, because they received the promises of God that this would be a snare. This was going to bring hardship when the two are not pulling in the same direction. But they made their choice. And all of these things take place. The busyness of life, the responsibilities of day to day. And then it all stops. The two sons die. And Naomi is now in a quiet room. And now she needs to make a choice. Sometimes that's hard, to be in a quiet place with your thoughts, to know where you've been, and to ponder, which way will I go? But she makes a choice that she's going to return. She's going to go back home. She doesn't know what the future is going to hold for her. There were laws that would care for those who are in her situation. There was land that was available for her, potentially. There was a family. There was love. And there was a promise. You can't eat those things. They don't satisfy the flesh. But that's not where the test is. It's for the spirit. For your soul. Will you believe? Will you trust and take that step back towards your home? Towards the place where you belong? Towards your God and your Maker? And towards His people? Naomi wasn't so sure about her two daughters-in-law and what she could provide for them. And often we don't know how God's going to work. We can even have faith for ourselves and trust in the Lord, but how is God going to work for someone else? We don't always know. And she encourages them to go back. There's nothing within Naomi that she can offer to them. And so the one goes back. She goes back to her family. She goes back to her gods, the places that she knew, the things that she was familiar with, where she was comfortable, where she had a name, and maybe she had a future. And she depended on that, and she made her choice. But Ruth decided that she would leave it all. She would leave the people that she knew, the comforts. She would leave all the things that defined who she was because of her faith. A simple faith and trust in the promises of God. There was something about Naomi's example, though she's not the one in whom Ruth would find all of her needs satisfied, but something about her example, she saw that Naomi wasn't turning to the idols herself. She saw that Naomi was going back. And she came to a conclusion, this is real. Her God is real. There's something to this, and I need to seek it out. And that is what faith does for us. It makes the promises of God real so that we can hold them and grasp them and build our life upon them. But it's at a crossroads. Which way will I go? That's where faith grows and where faith is shown. And she says these beautiful words, "Entreat me not to leave thee. Don't ask me to leave you again, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me." Nothing would hold her back. She was convinced. Her faith was settled. She would not question. She knew where she belonged. Jesus also speaks of a crossroads and gives us a choice. When he spoke in the Sermon on the Mount, and he wants us to have this story, we see in Ruth that as she surrendered herself to what she knew about the Lord, little though it may have been, she found that step by step, the Lord provided for her every need and gave her a new family, gave her a new place of belonging. And there are promises for you, my friend outside of Christ. There's promises for you, my brother and sister. When we come to a crossroads of a test of our faith, and we are given an opportunity to choose between our physical life, its comforts, the sin that is offered by the world, and that path that leads to destruction, compared to trust in the Lord, follow his ways, keep his word, humble ourselves, confess that we were wrong, and find his grace, which leads to life everlasting. That's our crossroads. Jesus says these words in the Sermon on the Mount to really make it clear that you are at a point, and I am at a point, where there are only two ways, and we can only choose one. He said, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon." There is the choice between God and the physical, this flesh and the carnal mind. One path leads to destruction, and one path leads to redemption. One path, the path towards God and towards his ways, lead to hope and to peace within the heart. But even as the hymn writer notes, that way is filled with many crosses, but it embraces those crosses. It embraces them. Do you embrace the cross? Do you embrace the cross where Jesus went for you? Do you embrace the truth that you have need of a Savior, and that he has abundantly provided and promises life and rest and peace to all who would come to him? Even today, he offers. Even those that are looking down the road of sin and looking down the road of self and thinking and contemplating that way, don't go. Turn around. Start heading home. God will provide for you. Step by step, he will take your hand and lead you. He loves each and every one of us. And he wants us to know that and to believe that with all of our hearts. Amen.